You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The tar sands of northern Alberta extend for thousands of square kilometres. They've been described as the last new major source of oil on Earth. The trouble is, tar sands oil comes at huge environmental cost. Separating the tar from the sand and turning it into crude oil takes huge amounts of energy, steam and water. This crude oil then needs more processing, with the addition of hydrogen made from natural gas. By 2012, the tar sands industry will use the same amount of natural gas each day as it takes to heat every Canadian home for a day. And planned projects will divert up to 10% of the winter flow of the Athabasca River. With this scale of environmental impact, you would expect every major environmental organization in the country to be united in opposition to any further extraction of tar sands oil. But this is not the case. A number of prominent groups are instead calling for mitigation strategies within the context of continued expansion of the industry. Peter Cizek argues that their cooperation has been bought by funding from the United States. Peter Cizek is the author of a recent article in Canadian Dimension magazine about the tar sands, and he's joined me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
So now, who are the environmental groups in question here?
Well, there's a whole coalition of environmental groups that signed a tar sands declaration in December 2005, about 11 of them, led by the Pembina Institute of Alberta. Now, just to clarify what you were saying, since then, the Pembina Institute and the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society has changed their tune somewhat, especially following the publication of Peter Lougheed's views, where he has himself called for a moratorium on the tar sands. But it took 6 months or more for them to change their tune a little bit.
Okay, so you've mentioned the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society. Are there other organizations, other environmental organizations that have been supporting them?
They are thus far the only two that have changed their tune about the policy implications of the tar sands. World Wildlife Fund, as far as I know, has not come out with a statement calling for a moratorium.
Okay, so the World Wildlife Fund then is still calling for mitigation strategies.
The last I saw, the World Wildlife Fund is continuing to call for so-called carbon-neutral tar sands by the year 2020, where the greenhouse gas emissions are to be offset through carbon credits.
Okay. What other recommendations do they have on the tar sands development?
Well, the declaration that was put forth in December 2005 called for a regional plan, called for a series of protected areas in the region. And its primary tool was this unusual approach of carbon offsets or carbon credits, where by investing in renewable energy or purchasing credits elsewhere, presumably the impact, the atmospheric impact of the tar sands would be eliminated. Unfortunately, regardless of that, the carbon would still keep coming.
So at least from the point of view of the World Wildlife Fund and perhaps the Canadian, the Pembina Institute, as you mentioned, and the Canadian Parks and Wilderness, there's a lack of outright opposition to the tar sands development. And you're saying that this is because of money that they've received in the United States. So where does this money come from?
Well, the mainstream environmental organizations in Canada, namely World Wildlife Fund and Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, are heavily funded by an organization called the Canadian Boreal Initiative. Now, this is an organization based in Ottawa that does not have a board of directors, does not have a charitable number, is not registered anywhere in Canada. And the Canadian Boreal Initiative has been created and is entirely funded by the Pew Charitable Trusts of Philadelphia. the Pew family are the owners of Sun Oil, which later became Sunoco, and which created the very first tar sands project in 1967 that later became Suncor.
So you're saying that the Canadian Boreal Initiative, so what have they done? What do they do in Canada?
Well, the Canadian Boreal Initiative has brought together environmental organizations, industry, and First Nations to put forth something called the Canadian Boreal Framework, whose aim is to establish a network of protected areas encompassing 50% of the boreal forest that stretches across northern Canada from Newfoundland, like a green halo, all the way to northern Yukon.
So then what's the Pew Foundation or the Pew Charitable Trust's interest in the in Canada's boreal forest then? Are you saying that's directly linked to their business interest, the Pew family business interest?
Well, the Pew family no longer owns Suncor. They sold them off for several billion dollars in 1995, but Sunoco remains a major refiner of the synthetic crude that comes from the tar sands. Now, the Canadian Boreal Initiative is claiming to want to do this conservation in northern Canada. Well, at the same time, the Pew Foundation, along with one of its partners, the $6 billion Hewlett Foundation, is funding the National Energy Policy Commission in the United States, which is promoting further tar sands development.
Now, has there been money from that area of interest put into tar sands development? Like, are they building on in earlier investments, or is this a fresh start somehow here?
No, I don't think it's a fresh start at all. I'm simply describing the overall policy context. On one hand, the Pew purports to be supporting conservation in northern Canada. We know that the Canadian environmental organizations have taken some strange positions with respect to that. Certainly in the Northwest Territories, neither World Wildlife Fund nor the Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society is opposing the Mackenzie Valley Pipeline, which is essential to feed all the natural gas into the tar sands. They're simply calling for a network of protected areas. Even though they've been calling for this for the past 10 years, very little, if any, progress has been made through their efforts.
So how much funding then have come from, you know, have the World Wildlife Fund and Canadian Parks and Wilderness got from the Pew Foundation?
Well, the funding comes in an unusual way. Since the Canadian Boreal Initiative does not have any legal status as an organization, the funding is first transferred to Ducks Unlimited in Nashville, Tennessee, which is then moved over to the Canadian branch plant near Winnipeg. Ducks Unlimited lists both Suncor and Syncrude, who are the two largest tar sands developers, as their corporate partners. The funding is then distributed via Ducks Unlimited to World Wildlife Fund and Canadian Parks and Wilderness Society, as well as a whole host of other organizations, including First Nations. Last year, the total annual funding was $12 million.
And has there been comparable funding previous to that?
Well, the funding gradually increased
really
from 1999 onwards, steadily increasing.
So now, the Pew Foundation, like, how does this fit with the notion we all have, or other people have, of the Pew Foundation funding progressive environmental causes?
Well, there's a long track record of the Pew Foundation in the United States. I have to keep in mind that up until the early 1980s, the Pew Foundation concerned itself with funding quite right-wing causes like the John Birch Society and the Heritage Foundation. And then they started taking on so-called progressive causes, including the environmental groups in the United States. And there's a number of investigative journalists in the United States who have thoroughly documented how they've managed to thoroughly neuter the environmental movement in the United States since then.
You mentioned that the Pembine Institute has changed its line somewhat. What's the current state of the Pembina's line on the tar sands?
This summer they changed their tune and are clearly finally calling for a moratorium. But this was only after the former Premier of Alberta, Peter Lougheed, himself called for a moratorium and clearly stated that what was going on up there was a complete mess.
And so now, are there any other organizations that are, you know, opposing the tar sands development very concretely?
Well, the Sierra Club earlier on took a much more clear stance on the tar sands. However, strangely enough, they too signed this declaration in December 2005.
For similar reasons, are you suggesting? Or?
Well, as far as I know, at the moment, the Sierra Club is also receiving funding from the Canadian Boreal Initiative while taking a stronger stance. The question is, how long will that last?
So I suppose then that question gets rephrased, like, are there any organizations that, you know, are able to take a very solid stance against tar sands development?
Well, that remains to be seen. It's very clear that in the last few years, these extremely large American foundations have developed a beachhead in Canada. And when I say very large, we're talking about organizations that have assets of billions and billions of dollars.
Well, this has been very interesting. So thank you very much for coming and talking with me about it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Peter Cizek. He's the author of a recent article about the tar sands in Canadian Dimension magazine. You can read his article online at canadiandimension.com, or you can find a direct link to that article on our website, corpradio.org/redeye. You can also go to the website to access our interview with Hugh McCullum of the Parkland Institute about their report on tar sands titled Fueling Fortress America.